Well, my goodness, I look out and I see Sister Katrina Lee is here from Canada. Sister Katrina Lee, sister, you got to stand up for a minute. I have to tell them about you just for a minute. This is my friend, Sister Katrina Lee. Welcome, sister, back home to the United States and to our Mass. Sister Katrina and I were in the third and fourth grade together. It's just that nuns don't age. They kind of fade away like General Patton. Priests, we do age. But no, sister was a younger woman once upon a time. She still is, of course, that taught it up at Arlington University there beside Maria Goretti, was a math teacher. And she came when we were doing the Divine Mercy devotion at St. Maria's and became hooked, if you will, on the Divine Mercy and is in a community devoted to the Divine Mercy and the spreading of the gospel and the message of Divine Mercy. She founded a community of sisters who are doing that in Canada. So it's nice to have you back, sister. It's nice to see you again. God bless you and your community and your family. Hope you have a nice Thanksgiving. And when I look at you, sister, I think of a particular, you know, those verbal bubbles, they call them, that are above cartoonists, you know, where they have the bubble, and then they have the words of what they're saying. I wonder what life would be like if we could all see the bubbles that are above our head and what's going on in our thinking or what we'd like to say or we are saying to ourselves. But I think of it more of a signature when I see you folks. I think of faithfulness. And when I see sister, I think of divine mercy. It's a nice signature, sister. So you give me great joy to see you again. Thank you on this gray day, and all of you for coming together. We have the signature of faithfulness today. Speaking of faithfulness, my brother-in-law is from England. He lives in the United States now and has become an American citizen. But along the way, he has gotten me very involved in something I already knew by way of English literature. I taught it as well as American literature. I taught it. But he would be more involved in the person on the street or the people in the arts that might not be published in other places. And so he got me involved once upon a time to read about a man who was a professional artist by way of pottery. But he's also, as many artists are, and musicians, and mathematicians, and philosophers, and theologians, and people who have the ability of abstract thought, to see more deeply, perhaps, than other people who are not musicians or are not artists. In his case, he is a potter, world famous. His neighbor's Bernard Leach. He's written a couple of books about the eyes that see deeply. Let's call it the gift of insight. He wrote a book called The Potter's Challenge, which is to take what is abstract and to put into the concrete. I mean, isn't that what you do? Whenever you're involved with someone as an item, if you will, don't you have a particular idea of the kind of person that you would like to be with? And you meet them, and there they are in the concrete, please God. What was abstract in your vision, now you see with your real sight. It's the same thing with an artist. They have an image of what they want to paint or sculpt, and then they take their hands with the gift of an artist and they sculpt it or paint it into a reality. So what was once esoteric now becomes concrete, not for itself alone, but for the rest that we may enjoy. It is his signature. That's really the theme of this Sunday. What is our signature? Especially as we end a church year, because next week is the last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King. Then December comes, we celebrate a brand new church year. Thinking of the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, what would be your signature for this past year if you were writing it as a child of the light, like the second reading says? I mean, let's think of the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. Would your signature be charity? Would your signature be writing a letter instead of your actual signature, joy? Would it be perhaps patience? Would it be temperance, meaning self-control? A lot of times we have the opposite of that because whatever goes on in our life, we are impatient and we get upset and we get discouraged and all of that. There's a danger of that becoming my signature, my stamp, if you will. As a matter of fact, that's where signature comes from. Thousands of years ago, the Sumerians had a royal seal, and they put a seal down, and that was the signature of the king. Well, that comes down to us by way of signatures. Little side note. A lot of times you may remember we do it sometimes in our own letters. Did you ever write a letter to someone and you put an X? Generally, that means a kiss. And maybe you even add to the X a circle. That means a hug. It's always interesting when you study history and history of words and cultures as to where that came from. The X comes from the times whenever there was mass immigration, no matter what era that was in, but especially recently, let's say Ellis Island, whenever someone would come to Ellis Island or through Boston Harbor, and they couldn't read and write, but they had to sign something, they would put an X down. But you know what that X means? It was the first Greek letter in the name for Jesus Christ. For what they were saying is, I'm a Christian. Along with that, when the Jewish people came into this country, they did not believe in the X. They were not people who had been baptized or believed in Christ as the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Son of God. They would sign a circle of O. An O is a Yiddish word that simply points to the opposite of what they felt an X was. So they would put an O, especially in Ellis Island. The Yiddish word for that O is K-I-K-E-L. Eventually it became hate speech when you'd abbreviate that and call a Jew by an abbreviation of that name. But it's interesting that it's come down to us as X's and zeros or O's. That's a cultural seal that we have. Well, something that this fellow wrote, Bernard Leach, it's kind of struck me about signatures or our seals, for you and for me, as a community and as an individual, considering what Proverbs talk about the seal of faithfulness of a wife, or Thessalonians, the seal is the signature, we are a people of the light, or the signature in Matthew's gospel who gives us an image of Jesus the teacher. Matthew, in this particular story of the talents, gives us the signature of courage and boldness in investing, and other people who are fearful and paralyzed is their signature. Because I knew you were a hard man, and I was afraid I would lose it, so I buried it, and well, you heard the rest of the story. Those are signatures of different thoughts and different mentalities and different customs. But he writes, there is a recent book about a village in England in which the author tells the old farmers who look at a field where 10 people had plowed and tell you the name of the man who had done each furrow. In it could be felt the character of that plowman. In a similar way, I have been told of Indian markets in South America where they sell rope and can tell you just by looking at who made each particular piece. There is a great difference between such innate character and what is an attempt is a personal statement. He ends. Those farmers in England were asked why they took such care to make furrows so precise. The precision could not yield more beans, and they answered that it wasn't because they were paid more. It was because it was their work and they did it as best as they could. It belonged to them and it was them. It was their signature. Writes Ronald Blythe from The Farmer, not only on the field, but in life. And so the question that we are always to challenge ourselves with, what's my signature, do you suppose? Now be very careful that you don't fall immediately into the negative. There is too much negativity in the world. It's the influence of computers, the influence of things that we hear on the news, we read ourselves, or someone tells it about it. Negativity, mean-spiritedness. Maybe if we were to have a signature of the current time and the current year, it might be certain derogatory terms. Meanness, dispassion, anger, rage, war, corruption. Oh, we could go on and on and on. Every epoch has its own signature, if you will. But there's always the kingdom of God. There's always Jesus Christ, who, because of Jesus, there's always hope. And in spite of and in the midst of, he continues to send us, according to Thessalonians and St. Paul's letter today, the light of Christ. Now, the light is that part of us that sees in the midst of the darkness of the world. That's our signature as a community. And I might have my own negative signatures, and if I don't, there sure might be someone around you who would give you a negative signature. But we have to listen to the inner voice that calls us to rise above. And a signature for us is conversion. A signature for us is reconciliation. A signature for us is sacrifice, mortification, penance. A signature for all of us in this epoch until the second coming, according to St. Faustina Kowalska, is divine mercy. So stop and think in your own way, what's the signature of your marriage? Is there kindness towards each other? Do you remember to recite your vows often, especially in the more challenging times? The signature of those vows in good times and bad, in sickness and health and so on. Sometimes people have to remember what the vows are about. It's their signature. It's the same thing, whatever the mission statement is for your office or your place of work. What's the mission? Is that your seal that you are using? Basically, it comes down to us for our baptismal promises, to renounce the devil and all his pomps and works, and to invest ourselves in faith and faith and faith, which means to take a stand and to not be frightened to invest the gifts that God gives us. Our Lord, through St. Matthew's mouth and pen, is giving us an example today of people who have certain gifts, certain calls and vocatios, but because of fear or laziness or lethargy, they do not cooperate with the Spirit that compels them to go out and to share their gifts. Once upon a time, I remember in Florida, there was altar boys, would you pay attention, please? Thank you. Once upon a time in Florida, there was a poll that was taken about people of 100 years old. What would you like to influence? Have you influenced people today that are younger? They were over 100 now and were reflecting. And so they said they had three desires that they wish that they had done, that it seems to me we could take in and influence our signature, my stamp, my seal on my relationships with my family and the world and culture and society and soul. They said that they would wish that they had risked more. That could have been said to the third fellow with the talents today. They were too frightened to step out and maybe start their own business or ask someone to marry them or go back to college and take something or change jobs or whatever, or speak to a neighbor who was toxic and people were talking about them and he was wondering or she was wondering why they were lonely. I would have taken more risks to speak the truth. Remember, you're baptized as a prophet, which means to speak the mind of God, and to bring about justice, which means to right wrongs. The second thing is they wished that they had encouraged other people more. They were much too caught up on the signature of my power, what I'm doing, my personality, my influence. And even with their own children, they didn't think that they had encouraged very much. Sometimes that comes from the fact that they were growing up, they didn't encourage. That wasn't a signature of their family life. So they wished that they had encouraged others more. What could others have brought about if I have just spoken a word of affirmation? Finally, the gospel too, I wish that I had told people more that I love them. I wish that I had told people more that I love them. Ah, we can come up with the X, and the circle, hugs and kisses. But this is a sign that I love you. When we receive the heart of Christ in the Eucharist, he comes to our hearts. He's saying, I love you. When I love, I am full of gratitude, and gratitude obliterates all the negativity. Always an attitude of gratitude called a Eucharistic attitude will obliterate those regrets and that shame and that guilt and those failures and whatever else. This gratitude, which is called a Eucharistic attitude, obliterates all that is negative, and we jump into the signature of a Percy people who shed the light in the midst of the darkness of the world. So go to confession so that you can have a light-filled signature. Continue to stay close to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass so that you can be filled with continual gratitude. Remember the importance of the daily rosary, which is a sign of belonging to the Blessed Mother and her Immaculate Heart, and is a sign to the devil that we belong to her and not to the darkness that Thessalonians talks about. Faith, hope, and love, St. Paul says, and the greatest of these is love. What a powerful signature. And even if people don't speak to us or we don't know them personally, the sign speaks. By what you do, yes, what you say, where you go, how you act, what your attitude is, you let the light shine. And the Lord will use that, you as his signature.